The foul vapours of dishwater and stale sauces belched into the street. Under arched carriage entrances, shirt-sleeved concierges sat astride straw-bottomed chairs smoking pipes, while exhausted passers-by plodded along, bareheaded, carrying their hats. When Georges Duhat reached the boulevard, he stopped once again, undecided what to do next. He felt tempted to make for the Champs-Élysées and the Avenue du Bois de Boulogne, where he might find a little fresh air under the trees. But he was tormented also by another desire, the urge to meet a woman. How would this happen? He had no idea, but for 3 months now he had been waiting for it day and night. Sometimes, however, thanks to his handsome face and dashing air, he had managed to get a bit of love here and there for free. But he was always hoping for something more, for something better. His pockets empty, his blood seething, he was excited by the whispers of the whores on the street corners. "Coming back with me, handsome?" Unable to pay, he dared not follow them, and also he was waiting for something different, for other less common embraces. Nevertheless, he liked the places where prostitutes congregate, their dance halls, their cafes, their streets. He liked rubbing shoulders with them, talking and chatting familiarly with them, sniffing their pungent scents, feeling them around him. They were women, after all, women meant for love. He did not feel for them any of the family man's innate contempt. He turned towards the Madeleine and followed the stream of people moving along, exhausted by the heat. The big cafes were crammed, overflowing onto the pavements, their customers drinking in the brilliant harsh glare from the brightly lit facades. Before them, on little round or square tables, stood glasses of liquids in every shade of red, yellow, green, and brown. And in the carafes you could see the big transparent cylinders of ice shining as they cooled the lovely clear water. Duhat slowed down, his throat parched with longing for a drink, a burning thirst. The thirst you feel on a summer night gripped him, and his thoughts lingered on the delicious sensation of chilled liquids slipping down his throat. But if he were to drink even 2 beers during the evening, it would mean kissing goodbye to tomorrow's meagre supper. And he knew only too well what it was like to go hungry at the end of the month. He told himself, "I must wait till 10, then I'll have my beer at L'Américain. But hell, I'm so damn thirsty." And he gazed at all those men sitting, drinking at their tables, all those men able to satisfy their thirst to their heart's content. He walked boldly and jauntily past the cafes, assessing, with a single glance at a face or a coat, how much money each customer had on him. And he was filled with rage at these men, sitting there so calmly. If you felt in their pockets, you'd find gold and silver and small change. Every one of them must have, on average, at least 40 francs. There must be about 100 customers per café. 100 times 40 was 4,000 francs, he muttered, "the swine," as he swung stylishly past. Had he been able to grab hold of one of them in a nice dark corner of a street, he would have wrung his neck without a second thought. By God, he would! Just the way he used to wring the necks of the peasants' chickens when he was out on army manoeuvres. And he remembered his 2 years in Africa, how he used to prey on the Arabs in the little outposts in the south. And his mouth curled in a cruel, gleeful smile at the recollection of an escapade which had cost 3